Hello again. This is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm host of Radio Entrepreneurs. We are at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, and that means this is On the Record, and that also means that my co-host is the one, the only, Mark Furman.
Jeffrey,
we should give him a clap.
Jeffrey, great to be with you. Very excited to hear from our next guest.
And that is the one, the only, Walter Sullivan, and he is our reporter for Up in Smoke, and the whole marijuana industry is really booming. And you wanted to talk to us a little bit about, was it at law firms and marijuana?
I find it very interesting. I mean, this is almost like a joint show we're doing here, Mark.
A joint show.
No pun intended. You know, I just got to bring Jeffrey some better product. But it's interesting how you're looking at law firms today. I started my own practice after leaving a big firm, focusing on cannabis.
Right.
But what I find is a lot of firms are now getting into the business because cannabis clients need good business development attorneys, good attorneys to help plans. Especially, you see, today, if you read the Boston Globe and Spotlight, is all these companies coming in, worldwide companies, national companies coming in, buying these small businesses. And I think these small businesses, and it's part of a lot goes on in Radio Entrepreneurs, this discussion succession plans. It's an important part of these small businesses because that's when they're going to make their money.
Well, you're right. They're at the front end of a curve of a new industry. And if things go the way all industries go, there will be a consolidation at some point. So the smart entrepreneurs will get their money at a large leverage and get out, correct?
It is. I mean, one of the things they're looking at, so part of the law requires that we have economic empowerment for people that were disadvantaged as a result of the war on drugs. And so you're looking at these communities developing benefits to economic empowerment applicants, whether it's race, whether it's because you've been arrested for marijuana violations, or you come from a part of Massachusetts that is considered an economic empowerment area, is that these communities are looking at, well, give them a license, but they may not be able to sell the license. You know, they may have to give it back after they've been empowered. The problem with that potentially is that a lot of people actually end up making money from the sale of the business, not just running the business. So are you really empowering them, not giving them the ability, like every other business entrepreneur, the ability to sell that license later on as they grow their business? So I think there's a lot of discussion taking place today as to how we move forward in Massachusetts. Big companies are coming in, small, especially economic empowerment.
Is it a gold rush period?
I think it's a green rush, but you can go gold.
Well, I mean, you know, are people just running into it without really knowing what they're getting into also? Do you see a lot of people in this business who don't know how to work or manage this business?
Well, one of the things I find is I talk to investors because I do due diligence for companies coming in looking to purchase small businesses. And what you find is, and people looking to invest, and what you find is these companies think just because, oh, we get a license, oh, we know how to grow in our backyard, that people will fund us. No, you need a business plan. You need to really show what your numbers are to these investors and have a good group of people. And that's why these people aren't able to get into business, because they just think, oh, well, I'll apply for a license because I know how to grow in my backyard. And it's also different growing in 5 square feet of space versus 30,000 square feet of space. So it really is important for them to put together a good business plan and work with companies that can help them do that. And also developing a good operating plan as well.
Then the people who have the licenses, they have all the problems of any other business. You know, they have their contractual needs. They have partners. There can be beefs. And, you know, the whole panoply of corporate law and helping businesses, I think, comes into play.
And that's why I explained whether I do my alcohol clients, my gaming clients, whatever. One of the things I explain to people is when people get into business, they're all friendly. Everybody likes one another. We're never going to have
the honeymoon.
Right. And that's the most important time to put together your bylaws, your operating agreement, so you can remain friends. It's also understanding if something goes wrong that there's a document to look at, and people lose sight of that. I think the other issue, and I don't know if you saw, if you read in the Globe yesterday, that there was a financial advisor that just got grabbed by the Secretary of State, Galvin, for $8 million fraud relative to the pot business. And it's the way he was doing securities, raising investment. And people think, well, I can talk to my family and friends. We don't have to follow security rules.
Right.
That's not true. You better have your disclaimers, and you better make sure everybody's aware of the risk as well as what your involvement is. And it's a very interesting complaint that the Secretary of State has against this person.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things I've always liked about Mark Furman, is that over the years since I've met him, is he's made me more fearful to just say yes to people.
That's why lawyers do such a great job, because we love putting fear in our clients, that without us, they're in trouble.
No, but you can't say, as an entrepreneur, you can't say yes to everybody, and you can't do whatever you want. Business is not a license to do whatever you want, because business is regulated.
That's true.
And marijuana is especially...
It's a highly regulated industry.
Exactly.
So you really need to understand that. In putting together your pro forma and everything else, what are we doing? How are we moving forward? And I think when you go out to find a location, you know, although cities and towns want to help people that have been disadvantaged, they're not going to put somebody in their community that they're afraid that it could turn things upside down. So it's really important to understand that you have a plan in place, that you have a good group of people that you're working with, that there's a structure that people know works. And the same thing is true with the Cannabis Control Commission, who oversees this program, both medical and rec, that they want to see that.
And I've also, like any attorney like you, I've made a living on people who go into business with a honeymoon and no structure. And then when you go in and the organization is not working right, or the partnership's not working right, there is not a roadmap for how to deal with this conflict.
You know, and it's funny, with what I do regulated industries.
Right.
So what you find, there's always someone looking at me, whether it's a regulator, whether it's a town, to challenge what I'm doing with my clients. The problem with when you're out raising money, starting a business, there's really no one checking you. And when the honeymoon's over and things fail, everybody wants to blame somebody else. So the person raising the money all of a sudden finds himself in lawsuits saying, well, you didn't tell me this, you didn't tell me that. So it's really important to make sure as you're moving forward that you've covered your bases. And the only way to do that is sitting down with a professional.
And if you have partners and, you know, things don't go well, sometimes the partners no longer see eye to eye and changes get made and lawsuits get filed. Right.
There's nothing better than a lawsuit for a lawyer.
So, Walter, what's the current state of play for accessibility to banking services and procuring adequate insurance for companies in the business?
So the insurance really hasn't, you know, you can find someone to insure anything. So the insurance really hasn't been that big of an issue. We've had the medical marijuana program since 2012. All the applicants in businesses have been able to get their $1 million and more insurance policies. The question really comes to banking. Right now, we have three banks in Massachusetts that will take funds in, and we need more. Money does not work unless it's put into the economy, and it'd be better to have more banks involved. I also think it'd be better for the federal government, it'd be better for the state government, it'd be better for the industry, as well as the economy in general, is that putting the money in the banks has protections. It also allows the monies to work to grow. That is something that's being worked on. It's very important that the banks now start realizing that this is a legal business in over 35 states, in over 12 states for rec. You know, it's moving forward.
But it's still illegal at a federal level,
right? It's still illegal at a federal level. Right now, there's a bill before Congress to deal with the Bank Secrecy Act and to find a way of allowing, although still keeping it federally illegal, to allow banks to work with this. We had in the past, under the Obama administration, a Cole memorandum that really set forth what banks should do when taking the money and to ensure that the money's not being laundered. I think we've had that, you know, in history we've had that. This is just another industry that is heavy in cash. There really isn't much difference. It's just cannabis. We have check cashing businesses that have been regulated this
alcohol this way.
Alcohol,
yeah.
Alcohol is a wonderful thing for an Irish kid.
so
I didn't say
what's
that.
what's your sense of the Trump administration's attitude towards opening it up for banks to more easily take money?
So I think if you look at his campaign, he wasn't against medical marijuana. If you look at his statements made in February of when he got elected, didn't have an issue with medical marijuana. Sessions somewhat got rid of the Cole memorandum and asked Congress to get rid of the continuing resolution. And what the continuing resolution was, that when the federal government started going after marijuana industries in states that had legal medical marijuana, Congress said, hey, wait a minute. We don't want federal funds used to go after medical marijuana businesses. So we're advising the Justice Department, DEA, and so forth, that funds cannot be used to investigate and prosecute businesses that are legally operating in states. The real reason for Sessions was looking to get rid of the continuing resolution is a result of a case that Obama administration brought against a company in California that was illegally dealing marijuana. They prosecuted the person, goes to district court. The district court finds that they had jurisdiction. The issue that the defendant argued back then was, well, you can't investigate and prosecute me because there's a continuing resolution that says you can't. What government said, it's your burden to show that you're operating legally. What the Ninth Circuit, which normally does in anything, is the most liberal circuit we have in this country, said, no, it's federal government's to show that they were operating illegally, not the burden on the defendant. I think that was one of the issues that Sessions was trying to deal with. So with all that taking place, I think people are really nervous. Investors are nervous. But the bottom line, I think the economy, you know, we're getting into an election season. It's all about developing an economic base that we can say we've grown, we've grown our economic base, that I see both sides are looking to find a way out of the federal situation, and we'll find some way of legalizing it within the next 2 years, or at least deal with the banking issue.
Wow. Really interesting. You really got into that at the end, is once Mark Furman started asking you the real questions. Again, we've been speaking with Walter Sullivan and with Mark Furman of the law firm of Tarlow, Reed, Hart & Rogers. Walter, if someone's looking for you, how would they find you?
They can either get me at my email address is wsullivan@waltersullivanlaw.com or call 617-834-2955.
Or call us at Radio Entrepreneurs and we'll get you Walter.
And we'll get some weed.
Well, my name is Jeffrey Davis. Again, with Mark Furman, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.